My name's Dave and I'm an addict. Well, done a few support gigs but never one in NA before. Nervous. I am nervous and I've never been nervous doing a chair because I like talking about myself. It's a sort of old habit. I don't really feel too sort of calm, to say the least. I'm not going to talk about using all that sort of stuff because we're all here, we've all used, and I believe it's about living in the solution. And I suppose really what I'm saying in a roundabout way is I'm sick of bullshitting, and most of my using stories were bullshit, because when I was really high I can't remember what the fuck was going on anyway. So, you know, all the stuff that I would tell people, oh yeah, I'd done this when I was this and this when I was that. How could I fucking remember? If I was out of it, I wouldn't have remembered. So, no bullshit, no using stories. But I want to go back to a place where I was, where I ended up, which was in a place where I desperately wanted something to change in my life, where I really wanted out of the situation that I was in. And needless to say, the drugs were not doing that for me anymore. And to me there was one change in my life, and it happens for different people in different ways, just like we all work the program in our own way. I have my take on what got me clean. And I believe it all leads to the same feeling that we identify with our own form of our own higher power, our own experiences, our own way of describing things. And, you know, it was about a year and a half before I finally done something about my problem. I live on Portobello Road, and I would be walking up and down Portobello Road on a mission, and on a lamppost there was a photograph and a little bit of advertisement underneath advertising a spiritual person that was giving a seminar. And something inside me really wanted that. This photograph sort of gave off this peace, this tranquility, this feeling of, oh, if only, you know, if only I could. So I really identified at that stage in my life when I was bashed and smashed up that I really wanted some form of peace. And to cut a long story short, you know, over a period of a week or so, I continuously saw these posters. And one day I went back, and the girl I was with at the time, I said, I've got to go and see this person. You know, I was seeking, I was already, you know, I was open-minded at that point. Well, slightly anyway, you know, because there was a lot of feelings going, I'm not a fucking bunch of tea, chamomile tea drinking hippies, I don't need it, you know. That was really kind of subliminally there. But I went along anyway, and I listened to this person speak, and the message was really peaceful. It was really saying everything that I needed in my life. Wasn't offering me a way, it wasn't telling me I had to do this or do that, it was just a message of peace and tranquility. And but no big deal, just living your life by spirit, in a spiritual manner. There was no program. And I left the person asked if anyone wanted a blessing. Of course I wanted blessing, and I wanted everyone else's blessing as well, you know, just to make sure it worked. And I got my blessing and I left, and you know, my girlfriend said to me, well, what did you think? And I was like, well, so I expected fireworks. She goes, yeah, but it doesn't happen like that. And about 3 days later, I was sat watching the television. Now, this is probably going to sound pretty weird, but this is the way it was for me. This is what happened for me. And I was watching television, and all of a sudden, you know, when I'm watching TV, I'm in a trance. You know, you have to shout at me to break the trance. That's why I don't have a TV set now, because I'd never get away from it. But I'm watching TV, and this person's face appeared between the television set and me. And it was really, really a freaky experience. You know, I wasn't on any hallucinogenics or anything like this. And, you know, you can make up your own mind what it was. To me, something happened in front of that for me. And this person said three words to me. And I felt like there was no... I felt like I was plugged into something that took all the pain away, all the anguish away. And it was only... It was a weird sort of strange moment in time. It seemed like it was no time at all, yet it seemed like it was for an eternity. And the three words, I can only... I don't know what those three words were, but I can only put them into a translation, which was, it's going to be all right. And at this time, you know, I was on everything. You know, I won't run down the list. It'd be easy to say what I wasn't on. And... But this particular morning, you know, I'd gotten up and I just had my script, which hadn't really done a lot. So, you know, I was still quite stoned, but this feeling left me feeling quite different. And it was at this stage that I realised what I identify now as powerlessness, because after this moment of sort of bliss and realisation that some sort of strange feeling had come over me, I started to sort of feel strange. You know, it was like I never returned, and to this day I've not returned back to the old feelings that I had. Something like a spark lit up in me and turned to like a flame, if you like. And I started to meditate and go to meetings of this person, while I was sat there, and I was still going out and scoring, and even my using was strangely altered. You know, it just wasn't happening. And I tried to shut the door and pretend it didn't happen, this experience. And then I sat there one morning, and in my heart of hearts, I just thought to myself, I'm never going to get back to that moment, that spiritual experience that I had. There's no way I can. I can never stop taking drugs. It's what I've done for quite a few years. And I never do anything except whatever I can at a particular moment in time. There's no structure, no discipline, no. How can I ever get onto a path that's ever going to lead me to this? And fast forward the tape about a year, I tried to, you know, try to get away from this feeling, but something kept growing inside me. I knew there was another way at this stage. I'd had a spiritual experience. And I finally went into treatment, and I've got detoxed. And when I was led down the stairs in treatment, I was walked into a big room, and on the walls an enormous 12 steps. And it was the AA 12 steps, but it's the same 12 steps. And my counsellor said, this is the program you're going to be working. And then I read step one, you're powerless. Step two, insane. Step three, turn it over. Four, inventory. Five, share it. Six, defects. Seven, rid them. Eight, a list. Nine, make some amends. You know, 10, an inventory on a daily basis. 11, prayer and meditation. And 12, to carry the message. And as I read down that list, it was like something like lifted up and lit up inside me, because I knew that was the program that I'd been guided to, if you like, that was going to be the answer to all that feeling that day when I sat down and I thought to myself, I so much want to get back to that state of spiritual peace that I had for just a couple of seconds amongst all that. How do I do it? When I read down that list of those steps, that hair stood up on me, because I knew that there must have been something in that yearning in my heart, that desire in my heart at that moment, that sent something out into the cosmos, man. And I'm getting a bit hippie here, but like, you know, I believe that when you want something, you know, like say when the pupil is ready, the teacher will appear. And I wanted it so bad. And when I saw those steps, it was like, all my prayers had been answered. Even though they were silent prayers, it was more of a desperate will that I needed this in my life. And then suddenly I was standing there, I was clean, all right, a bit shaky, you know, it was like my first day clean. But I knew I had something to carry me now. Even though I was shaky, you know, like, a bit like a bird that come out of an egg with a bit of shell on its head still. And I worked the steps. I went into a second stage, and you know, that's a while back now. And I've worked the steps through. And what they have done is they have given me, how much have I got left? 5 minutes, okay. They gave me, they've given me so much. And, you know, my step one, that was what really woke me up. When I done my step one, I think it reinforced that now I know that I'm not just useless and programmed this way. I've got a disease, and I will keep doing things against my will and better nature and judgment for as long as I've got a drug going round in me. Because I switch on to survival. It goes into a little part of my system, which is in a little box of eat, fuck, kill. And then next to that is use. There's no contact with my rational thinking or anything along them lines. And so step one give me such a freedom, and step two, my life was unmanageable, to say the least. Step two, unmanageable, and I, you know, understood that a power greater than myself could help me to restore my sanity. Having restored a certain amount of sanity, then I was able to make decisions, and an important decision for me was not to try and get things to go the way that I expect them to go every day. I can make the choices, but the outcomes I have to leave to a certain amount of, well, not a certain amount, I have to leave my outcomes to my higher power. But as long as I make the right decision, the right choice, my outcomes, the results in the right ballpark. It might not be actually fashioned the way I'd like it to have come out, but it's in the right ballpark. You know, and then with step four, I went over all the little secrets and craziness and all the anxiety, shame, guilt that I held in me. And believe you me, what I held in my head to what I put on the paper was two different things. And it was honest, it was fearless, as best as I could do it at the time. And I was able to identify a lot of different behaviour patterns that were creeping along with me in my life. The way that I would act in certain situations, these in the fellowship are called character defects. On the program, are character defects. By identifying these traits of behaviour, I was able, on a daily basis, am able to do my best to not act out on them. And that's what I called my number seven, asking God to have them removed on a daily basis. By turning my will over, I don't have to act out on them, because I trust by just being me, trying to be as honest as I can, it'll be okay. And, you know, step eight, from my step four, I made a list of all the people I had harmed. That brought up a lot. Step nine, I made amends. Now, what that done to me was freed up a lot of energy, because I had a lot of knots tied inside me. And instead of just breathing normally, when I thought about how I'd ripped someone off or done some harm in a lot of different ways to people, the breath wouldn't flow anymore. It starts to bounce about, and I get knotted up and all tense. And after doing step nine, which I still continue to do because I haven't seen everyone, it frees up my breathing, frees up my conscience and that sort of thing. And, you know, and 10, on a daily basis, I try to act the right way. And If I annoy anyone, mess anyone up or anything, which I very rarely do because my whole behaviour patterns have changed because I don't use or drink anymore, I make amends, you know, pray and meditate on a daily basis. I haven't been doing lately, but my mind is still geared towards thinking about it. The reasons I don't are very shallow, and I'm gradually getting back towards it. And, you know, sitting here and wandering around my neighbourhood, I carried a message, and I'm grateful to be in NA. I'm grateful to know the people I do in NA, and I'm grateful to have been allowed or asked to share this evening. Thank you for letting me do so. Cheers.